Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for who you are. You are God. We thank you, Lord, that you care so much for us, that you sent your Son to die for us. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus that is now in us. Lord, that we have eternal life, life that, again, begins with that great, wonderful relationship we have with you. And Lord, as we've been going through these series of messages about following you, we've been just kind of just hankering down on what it means to share our faith. And Lord, again, we just pray that as we come to the conclusion of these messages, that Lord, that we would take heart, that we'd be encouraged, and that we'd realize that it truly is good news. Bless this time, Father, we pray, and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. I gave you four R's last week, and I have a confession. I know I kept missing that first R because I always have in my mind, admit. Admit. And so I kept forgetting, what was that R word? It's realize. Remember? Realize you're a sinner. Realize everyone's a sinner. Realize there's none righteous before God. The second R was to recognize. Recognize what? That God sent his Son to die in our place for salvation. And then the third was to what? To repent. Turn away from sin. Agree, it means agree with God, you're going the wrong way, turn around and go towards the right way. Does it mean we're sinless? No, but what it means is we acknowledge this is sin. This is sin. And then what is it? To receive. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, building off of that, we're just going to go through really briefly certain things that we need to take heed to. And learn, we are all fishermen and women, every one of us. Every one of us are called to be witnesses. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. But we always get hung up because of our personalities or just maybe the situations we're in or whatever. But we don't realize that we have the living God inside us. That his desire, we'll see, is to speak through us and to use us. And a lot of times, as it's been said by a great saint, he said, preach the gospel wherever you go, and then when necessary, use words. It's your life. It's who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, again, if you remember a few weeks ago, I had you guys write out your testimony. Has anybody, I have a few of them, you don't have to give them to me, but have you sat down? It's good, it really is a good signpost to each of us to realize what God has done in our lives. Because we always look at our failures. We always look at when God's not speaking. We always look at the things that get us down. Instead, there's a time that each of us need to realize the signposts, the times that God has spoken to us. That God has used us. That God did work circumstances out for his glory. We need to put that down so we can reflect, we can remember that God is always good and faithful. So I noticed everybody put their heads down. Has anybody else done that? Wrote out their testimony. I see some. Can I see just a show of hands? Who has done it? Or who at least can, please give me this. Who has at least thought about it? Thank you. Thank you. Because now, let me see that show of hands again. One more time. Come on. You just thought about it, right? Okay, I got great news for you. We're going to do something next week. I'm going to announce it right. I was going to wait till the end. I was going to build it up. Then I was going to just bring you to the peak. But I'm going to tell you now. Next week, we're going to do something totally different. It's going to be Testimony Sunday. You guys are going to talk, not me. Some of you are already looking, going, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I am going up there in front. I already have one volunteer. I need some more. It doesn't matter how many. As many as can. Thank you, Jeremy. I mean, you can lift your hands now. I'll accept that. Now, again, the reason why this is, look, you guys, look around you. We're a family here. We're a family. If you can't share your faith in front of your family, who can you share it in front of? We're not here judging each other. If you stumble, look, I speak in front of you guys all the time. You see me butcher the English language. You see me make mistakes all the time. I'm standing up here making a fool of myself. You guys can too. We love each other here, right? Love covers a multitude of sin, or in this, mistakes, right? So I want to encourage you next week, and I would like you guys to volunteer before. Why? Because that challenges you now. Not, well, let's see what happens. And you know, even at Sunday, if it comes down to it, I'm going to say, chicken out. It's all right. But I just want you to focus on, okay, what has God done to me? Even if you just write a little outline, don't even write word for word, but just, okay, I can go there. Even if it's just 2 minutes. I just think it'd be a great exercise. Because again, what we're trying to learn here is that, you know what? We are all called to be witnesses, to share our faith. Okay, we talked about the 4 R's. Now, there's a few things that we want to talk about here. The next thing is, whenever we're in situations, always remember this. What we're doing is we're praying for an open door. Now, there are those who are street witnessers. And when I was younger, there was a lot of street witnesses. A lot. Here in Nebraska, I don't know, but where I've been to a lot of major cities, there's always somebody out there witnessing. I've been to Honolulu, there's a guy out there witnessing barefoot. I was always questioning about that because then some guy came up and paid him money. So I don't know. I used to watch people because I always find it fascinating. When I was in Rockport, Connecticut, I noticed a guy. And, you know, the Northeast is known as, you know, oh, we're more educated up there. And this guy was preaching the gospel message and he had hecklers heckling him and he just stood firm and he just preached to the air. Now, it was not me to go up to him and say, what are you doing? No, hey, if God called him to do that. Because that's what it looked like. Because he was humbled. But he just kept preaching. And he kept preaching the truth. He was right on. But those intellectuals, oh, listen to this guy. He's, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So we've seen it. Not everybody's called to do that, all right? I've done it, but I'll be honest with you. I'm not called to that either. But what I am called to, and just as you are, is to share my faith. Every one of us. We hold something that's precious and dear. And most of the time what we do is we start feeling guilty about it. But the first thing we realize is that God is the one that presents the opportunities. Even Paul said this in Colossians. He said, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am also in chains. Everywhere I go, that God would present a door open. Goes on to say in Corinthians, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And though God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God uses your mouth. God uses your hands. God uses your life. And you say, but I am not good enough. Welcome to the Christian family, because you aren't good enough and I'm not good enough, but God is good in you. Under construction. But we have the hope that brings peace, passes all understanding. So we pray for an opportunity, and these opportunities come in different ways. Sometimes there really are divine appointments. Have you had one ever? Just that all of a sudden, just like Philip, God says, the Spirit says, Philip, go. And Philip goes. He ends up in the wilderness. And there's a guy riding in his chariot reading a passage. Hello, knock, knock, knock. What else am I supposed to do? But hey, do you understand what you're doing? Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, hey, my sister just died. Or, you know, I just don't know what's going on. Finances aren't working out. Or, you know what? They're crying out. And that's an opportunity, a door opening. Now, we have those divine appointments, but most of the time it's just with family and friends. It's associates, or it's acquaintances, or it's the person down at the U-Stop. There's some people at the U-Stop. You know me and my cup. Well, I get to know these guys, you know. One time I walked in 5:30 in the morning. Here's this guy, and just what you would think. Just living in mother's basement. He plays computer games. He's intelligent. But he's lost. And he opened the door and I shared with him. And you know what he did? He slammed that door. And I said, okay, buddy, in so many words. But you know what? Every time I walk in there and I see him, he goes, how you doing? Because he knows. Not that I'm perfect, but he knows whose I am. Family. You know who you can share with. You know who you can't share with. Sometimes what we do is we think we have to go in there and bull rush the door, knock it over. You're going to listen to me and shut up and listen. This is good for you. No, that's not the way it works. Or we can be very obnoxious about it. That's not it either. It's being very sensitive to God's Spirit leading. I have a brother that I've witnessed to so many times in his lifetime. I don't have to say a word to him. Not a word. I just walk in and I can see it on his face. It's a reminder to him. And I've been through a lot with him. And I won't even share some of the things that, you know, he went through when I was there. But that's the thing, is that I still pray for an opportunity, again, that he would open up. But usually it's, he'll just look at me and go, yeah, I know, I need to go to church. And I don't say a word to him. And if he says that to me, usually I say, John, it's more than that. But you know what? Am I always on guard? Am I always ready? No. I fail too, gang. But remember what we were praying for. We're praying, look, it's time to wake up. It's time to ask God for a burden. The lost are many. The confused are a multitude. The teachings of the world are misgivings. They're leading people astray. And it's important for us to be ready to give a reason for the answer that's in us. Which brings us to the third thing. What is it? It's learn Scripture. And just like I was quoting, it's 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for the reason of the hope that is in you. Meekness and fear. I know you don't think so, but you're witnessing wherever you are. You're different. You are. You have traumatic things happen in your life. You have loved ones die. You have things that happen. Children do things they shouldn't. You have financial problems. But see, you are different. You have a peace. Sometimes you don't think you do. You do. You have a peace. People come up to you and go, I don't get it. Why are you acting? You just lost your father. You just lost your mother. You just lost your sister. You're in financials. How come you have such a peace? Because you know what? You have a God that's bigger than all this. It's kind of like a child and their parent. You see it all the time, you parents. Kid can be scared at night, right? Nightmares? What do they cry for? They run outside and say, help anybody! No, they run to mom and dad's room. That's what they do. Then they don't want to leave you. We always had to practice. They come in, we pick them up, we put them in their bed, we say, now live with it! No, we did not. But we would lay with them until they fell asleep. Then we'd go back to our bed. Why do we do that? Because we learned something. We can't sleep when they're in the bed. We just can't. We're having nightmares. But again, that's, you know, some people can do that, and God bless you. Some people can sleep through anything. I can't. Just like I shared with you about last night. I can't. But again, it's the same thing with God. God is there for us always. It's the peace that passes our understanding. Lila, stop smiling at me. Just stop it right now. I don't know what it is. It's fine if I'm a distance from her. She'll sit there and gurgle and smile at me. Then I come up to me and she kind of looks at me like, who are you again? Now, understand something. There's going to be excuses. There's always excuses. Just know that. And here's a few of them you'll hear. If God is so good and loving, why does he allow evil? Well, why? Was that God's plan and purpose? No. We know that sin entered through what? Rebellion. Adam and Eve. Forget about, you know, just you always think, well, it's just the fruit, and it's just kind of like, oh, this is such a weird... Look, it really did happen that way, but again, it was a symbolism of something. A deeper truth. That deeper truth was to obey God and live right the way I created you, or to rebel and think there's something better. And that's what we have done as a human race. We continually think there's something better out there. Better for us. Better for me. Sin entered through Adam and Eve, and guess what? Sin is in man, all man. It's what causes all the havoc. It's what James said, why you war amongst each other? Because somebody has something and you want it. Look at two children playing. How many times do you see it? One has a toy, the other one wants it. So the other one takes something like a, I don't know, a block and plops the guy on the other side of the head. The toy drops, picks it up. I got it. Then the other one starts clawing and fighting for it. So then they're starting to do this. And then they go run to the parent or the adult. They're saying, he's trying to take my toy away. And he goes, oh, he hit me first. Right? You think it changes as you get as an adult? We sit there and we look for things that other people have. We want it. We want to take it. It's the sin in us. It's the cancer, if you will, in us. So, again, the loving God is not the one that says, oh, let evil come. No, it was choice. It's just choice. Now, second thing you'll hear is, how come you Christians say that Jesus is the only way? Don't all roads lead to God? How wonderful that would be in a human sense. All you have to do is have some spiritual desire. Enlightenment, whatever that takes. Maybe my spiritual enlightenment is to just be in the Rockies and run naked through the woods. Crying, Rocky Mountain High! Right? You think that's crazy? There's some people that actually think that way. Some people is like, no, man, it's like, you need a substance to help you, man, spiritually. So, you know, we get together, we light some incense, let the aroma come in, you know. Smell pretty good. Then after a while, it's not enough. So then we kind of just get out some wacky weed and, you know, we partake. We share. Whoa, you see the visions we've had, man. But again, there is something spiritual in us that cries out for that. And if that's the case, if you really want to step back, look at the religions of the world. In fact, John Lennon had a song, if we can imagine taking all the religions out of the world, how would we be? We'd live in peace. No, you wouldn't, because you would have something. I want it. No, religion, again, is Satan's way of confusing the multitude. People. People. Look what Islam's doing right now. That's God? Seriously, think with me. If that was God, then what's the point? We do that already. No, no, no. See, there has to be an authority. There has to be someone say, I'm God. Otherwise, he's not God. There's just like a lot of demigods, okay? They're just like half gods. No, no. I need a God that's sovereign. I need a God that's almighty. I need a God that knows what he's doing. I know a God that says, this is the way to me. There is no other way. And I need a God that will come to the earth, clothe himself in flesh, and show me the way by going on the cross and dying for my sins. And saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I need that. I need somebody to tell me, this is the way, walk in it. Otherwise, it just becomes very confusing. We have that. We have the authority of the Word of God. There is no other name under heaven among men which man might be saved. Aren't you happy about that? Don't you rejoice in that? Is that somebody knows what's going on here? God does. Another excuse that you'll hear people say is, how can God of love send people to hell? Well, we know something. God did not create hell for man. He created for Satan and the fallen angels. Man now has entered into that rebellion through sin, that with no hope, they have to be separated from God. Sin cannot dwell with God. Our flesh cannot dwell with God. So what did God do? He came again. See how this, again, just a wonderful picture. Man can't make this up. That God clothed himself in flesh, took our penalty of our sin upon him. He died on the cross. His righteousness now imputed to us. That now we have right standing with God because of what God did. So literally, God does not send anyone to hell. In fact, Ezekiel, God says, turn, turn. Why do you not turn from your sin? Peter tells us that God does not desire that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But again, it's a choice. And it literally is, if you will, for a person to go to hell, they have to walk over Jesus' body. And you say, but what about the person that has never heard? Hey, gang, did I mention the God that we worship is sovereign and almighty and all powerful? He is just and pure and holy. Trust me, it'll be right. I don't know how that works out, but trust me, he does. Our little puny minds, we don't get it. That's fine. He does. He's just. Nobody's in heaven going, injustice, trust me. Every mouth is shut because it is truth. And he is holy. He is pure. He is right. He is fair. He's good. Again, it's the focus is on God. It's him. He'll take care of it. If he took the time to come to the earth and die for us, don't you think, and his heart is that all should come to repentance, don't you think he'll take care of the ones that never heard? Because he holds everybody accountable to what they do know. Do you understand that? And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory. Nature itself cries out for God. So God does have his witnesses, even to those that have never heard of Christ. And God takes what they do know and holds them accountable to what they know. And we here in America, we're going to be held very accountable because we know the truth. And throughout so many other countries. Now, there's too much hypocrisy in the church. Not everyone is a Christian who goes to church. People will say there's so much hypocrisy in the church. We see these really the people, and then they'll compare radical Christians with radical Islam. And the thing is you hear about these people in the past, I haven't heard so much lately, but bombing like abortion clinics and stuff. And there are people stand up, see, that's radical Christians. No, it's not. How do we know that? Show me in Scripture where Jesus would say, it's time to start bombing people. No, he says, love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Care for those who do evil. So we know that's not true. We do know that there is hypocrisy in the church. And we also know there's sin in the church. Why? Because we're not in our perfect state yet. It's like the old bumper sticker. Not perfect, still under construction. God's at work in our hearts. That's what we rejoice about. That's what we're so thankful for. God didn't let go of us. God is faithful. Oh, I'm so glad about that. Aren't you? God's faithful. God never lets go of me. Rejoice, brothers and sisters. Rejoice. God's got his hand on you. So again, the reality is do we learn from him? Now, the last thing is, why don't people come to Christ? Well, in John, Jesus speaks basically the whole truth. You ready? Majority of people don't come to faith because of this. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. But it's rebellion. It's sin. It's I want to do what I want to do. Now, if you're honest, if we're honest with each other, when we sin, usually, It is dark, isn't it? It's miserable. See, this is how, too, we know we're Christians. See, it eats us alive. Knowing that we fail our Lord. Knowing that we hurt the witness of Christ. We feel ashamed. But then what do? We confess our sin. God is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, for by grace we're saved. By faith. Not of works. Any man should boast. It's not how good you are. It's not how good you did this week that God loves you more. Is that good news? God loves you infinitely right now. Now it's up to us to enjoy that love. To live in that love. To rejoice in that love. To share that love. You with me? And see, the world doesn't want that. The world wants to be their own God. Do their own thing. Have their own way. We who are believers realize something. And you know, again, just as we see the landscape and as things are going in this world right now, is that we've got to wake up out of our sleep. We've got to start looking at things differently. We all do. Those things that affect us spiritually. Those things that basically shade the light that God desires to shine through us. We've got to go before the Lord and say, look, create in me a clean spirit. Let me walk in a way that's pleasing to you. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know what? I know for myself that it's like this little snowball. If I allow little things, the little foxes, I've shared this with you before, that's when it becomes bigger and bigger and it gets harder and harder to say no to certain temptations. And they might not even just be humongous ones. But it's just that separating myself from God's love. Partaking into the world. Thinking it doesn't affect us. It affects us, gang. It does. To be wise about these things and discerning. That's important for each of us. But ultimately, we understand something. What's that? We have the good news. That Jesus Christ died for sinners. And as Paul said, I am chief of the sinners. And I think we all feel that way at times, don't we? But see, it's God's grace. It's God's mercy. It's God's goodness. It's God's salvation. Now, there are certain things that you can do. I have to tell you, I've never been a big fan of these. I just bought a few. But, you know, there's tracts, too, you can have. You think, well, what? You know, it's not a bad idea to have tracts on hand. You say, but to share with people? No, even for you to read every once in a while, just for reminders, too. But also, yeah, as the Lord leads you, hand some out. Now, it's again, this isn't the end result, end thing, you know. Some people have done, I've heard of people doing this. I've seen people do this. I remember one person, this group of guys said, yeah, we were going to go downtown witness. But we just kind of ran out of time. So we just took a bunch of tracks and threw them out the window. And that's supposed to justify something, right? No, that's silly. It's just something that every once in a while you'll see that it really is beneficial. And you know what? It's funny because, like I said, I'm not a big fan of these really in some ways. But in one way, I have to share with you something. When I was a kid, these were I have a lot of them, actually. I just grabbed a few of them that I found real quick. But I used to keep them when I was young because I wanted to know God. And I'd read them. My favorite, now you got to be careful when I was a kid, were these chicks. But you got to be careful with these, because sometimes he goes off more than just what's the witnessing here. I mean, he goes off in his own agenda. And that's what you got to be careful, is read what it says in them. But to this day, I still remember this big one we had in our bookshelf at home. And I'd pull it out all the time and read it, because it's in comic book form, so every kid's going to read that. Just comics, you know. It's like, hey, all right, comic book. I remember being in Spanish would have, you know, the teacher would say, okay, class, you take something from the paper and read it. It's Spanish paper, right? Everybody's going, oh, take the class. I got sports, man. I always take the funnies. I couldn't understand. I was terrible in Spanish, but I could look at the pictures. And that's the same way, too, with a lot of times these comics, you know. But the Romans Road, basically, again, it just shows you the scriptures in Romans. We've all sinned. That the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is through Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. But it's, again, it's a good reminder. And plus, sometimes things happen that, you know, like we used to have a lot of these scriptures about 9/11. It's not a bad thing to have, gang. So if you feel more comfortable, again, just to kind of have confidence, like, okay, what is it again? And now, do I expect you all to go out there now and sit there and knock on doors and stand on the corner and you got a sign, somebody's carrying a cross? I could see Moo out there with a cross and his cane. Maybe not. But again, the point is that, you know what, it's really as God leads you. The whole point of all this is we're to follow Jesus Christ and we're to be open. And we'll find something. When we're not open, it's because a lot of times it's because we're too much into our own daily struggles. Right? And there's nothing better, really, to get out of self or depression or apathy than to be used by God. And you know, that's a big spectrum because, you know, if you're helping in the Sunday school, that's serving. But that doesn't take away from all of our responsibility to be open and willing to share our faith. If you lead in worship, same thing. We're all to be witnesses of the truth that lies within us and the hope. So, again, in conclusion of this, and I think this is the second time I said that, but again, I want to remind you next week, again, just for, really, just so we can learn a little more about each other. You learned about me. Is to learn about you, to see, hey, what did God do in your life for God to get the glory? It doesn't matter if you think, oh, my testimony doesn't. You know what? Your testimony is a wonderful testimony. Do you know that God has, if you will, a book about you up there? And you always think it's probably about that. No, it's a big book. It's the biggest baby book you'll ever see. It's about you. This is the time that I protected him from that trip. This is the time I allowed him to be tripped, but I walked right beside him. This is the time I allowed him through the pain and the sorrow, but I carried him. You think God in your life. You share just with us about what God's done in your life. You say, but I didn't grow up doing drugs. I didn't go out there and do all this sin. I didn't travel the world. I grew up in a Christian home. No, it's your story. And I have to tell you something. I do have, and if you know this, my kids do. I love stories. My kids used to get me to tell stories. And even to this day, people ask me to tell them stories. Why? Because I have all these stories in my mind. But there's not one wonderful story that I've read that's just fiction that's more wonderful than your story. I want to hear your story. So, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We just pray, Lord, that your will be done in all these things. Help us, Lord. First of all, forgive us. Forgive us for not being so mindful of these things. Forgive us for, you know, just concern about our own faith and our own walk. In fact, sometimes we feel like hypocrites and it's like, who are we to share? But the truth of the matter is you have us in your hand. That you are working all these truths out for your glory, for your purpose, for your praise. We just pray, Lord, help us to submit and to yield to the work of your hand. Because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author of our story. And we just pray, Lord, that we would be servants of our high priest and high king. Knowing that he loved us so much that he died for us. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage each of us to be to be ready in season out of season to share the truth of the gospel message, the good news to this dark, sad, lonely, depressed, crying world. So Lord, we just pray, help us to be ready. Praying for open doors. Seeking, Lord, your Spirit's leading in all these things. And Lord, we do pray for your glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.